Let's see. 58, gay man, single, no kids. Been sober in AA for about 32 years now. I've lived in Tucson since October of 2018, which is when my vacation from OA began. And hit bottom with that again in June of last year. And started coming back to meetings, and I count July the 2nd as my abstinence date. What that really means is, really the only sugar I get anymore is in the creamer I put in my coffee, and the only white flour I get anymore is the bread on my sandwich. I am no longer eating boxes and cartons of my sugar foods and calling it dinner, which is what I was doing pretty much every night for the most of the 2 years I was here in Tucson before I came back to OA. So it's amazing some of the things that have happened. I've lost some weight. I was really excited about that in the beginning, and then it kind of plateaued, and I'm kind of you know, a couple of members have lovingly reminded me that what I weigh is none of my business. That's in God's hand. So I can suit up and show up and do my part. I'm not binging on my old trigger foods anymore. The arthritis in my knees and ankles is so much better because I'm not carrying so much weight anymore. I noticed the other day that my skin is not as oily as it used to be. I was just a regular oil slick, Exxon Valdez spill on my skin, and it's not that way anymore. And the only real thing I could credit that to is my improved diet and nutrition. I don't have any other explanation for it. I had an unhappy childhood. My father, drug addict, Valium is his drug of choice, and my mother is one of us, a compulsive overeater. And they both have got mental diagnoses of their own, aside from their addictions, can be shockingly cruel. You know, I inherited my parents' addictions. This is not to blame them. That's where it's where my problems came from, but they're my problems now. You know, these are my hurdles to overcome. So I got sober, and how I did, I don't know. I managed to surrender just a little bit of my life, pretty much successfully handing over the alcohol, but in terms of desire to control and efforts to fix, you know, I was pretty much, you know, I know I had to get better along the way, but holy cow, it was so slow. I have done a lot of inventory work and a lot of prayer and a lot of therapy over my upbringing. And growth has just been progress so slow. And I wrote an email to my therapist the other day. Let me read part of it. The real family I struggle with is my internalized mother, father, and brother who live in my head. I've run from them, blamed them, judged them, raged at them, tried to outshout them, or try to drown out their voices using alcohol, sex, isolation, exercise mania, food, helping others, which means trying to fix them and me, overspending, hiding in my psychiatric diagnoses, and workaholism. And I've tried most of that in recovery. So it wasn't until I hit bottom this time that I was really willing to let go. I had made myself just nuts at work trying to live up to so many expectations. There is a, let me find it here. I pulled it up so I could read it quickly and now I can't find it. Okay. So in the Big Book chapter 5, in the segment, after, the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. And gracious is my middle name. That is how I attempt to control other people, that if I say the nice thing or do the nice thing or work hard, you'll love me, you'll approve of me, and life will be wonderful. And it never really occurred to me to blame other people that they're not doing their job or that it's their fault. I just internalized that as well. I didn't try hard enough. And it's a painful way to live. It really is. And food was my coping mechanism for so many years. I say coping mechanism, it kind of kept the crazy to a dull roar in my head. One thing that changed that got me into OA in Houston, which is where I was before I moved to Tucson, is I used to be able to count on binging on my trigger foods and falling into a carbohydrate coma. I would overeat like this, especially just before bedtime, and go to bed. And if it was alcohol, we wouldn't call it drinking. Sleeping, we would call it passing out. And I guess that's kind of what I was doing with the food. But then that stopped working, and my late night binges, instead of putting me to sleep and zonking me out, actually kept me awake and it contributed to insomnia and tossing and turning all night long. I was doing this and not really connecting the dots. And then one day I realized it's because I overate that I did this, that I'm not sleeping. And so a couple of days go by and I'm doing just fine and I'm getting over my little insomnia hangover and I do it again. And I was so mad because I knew that, after all my protestations and after all my thinking about, well, I've learned my lesson now, back at it again. And I knew what that meant. I knew that meant powerlessness and I was pissed. And I talked to a friend of mine in AA who was also at OA, and I consented to go to one OA meeting. And so I got involved with the program, moved here to Tucson, had my relapse, came out of it. In 1999, I had a bit of a religious or spiritual awakening and converted to a form of Buddhism that is not widely known, and began studying and getting active in that organization, and was just Mr. Gracious trying to control things all over again. Made myself nuts doing that too. And there's something else on my computer. Yes, this is in the AA 12 and 12. Step seven, we could actually have earnest religious beliefs, which remained barren because we were still trying to play God ourselves. Hello, that's my name. Done that. Since I have come into OA, reflecting on my past, which has caused me so much pain, I've been able to say that my eternal self, my original self, was unharmed, and it's free, it's whole, and it's here. It's here then, and it's here now. The past, which has caused me so much pain, or really how I think about the past has caused me so much pain, have really been able to reconcile that simply, you know, by believing. You know, it's paradoxical to say that my losses are part of my wholeness. That what was not there and what did not happen, and the abuse that did happen, it's part of my past, it's part of who I am, and I can like myself today. So, okay, the past is okay too. This analogy would kind of sum up the Buddhism I practice. If you've ever driven past a church at night when its lights are off, have you ever noticed the stained glass window then? It looks fractured, it looks lumpy, it looks ugly. It's like, why on earth would anybody ever want one of those? But then the light comes on and you see the colors and you see the patterns and we see the pictures and the stories the pictures tell. And it's the same window. The nature of the window beforehand is the same as the nature of the window afterward. The difference is now the light of courage, wisdom, and compassion is shining through. And so my past, my weaknesses, my character defects, I've been living with them in the dark, complaining how ugly they are, and unhappy. One essential step is to begin to believe, put more faith in my higher power than I put in my weaknesses and my defects. And to begin to let those weaknesses and defects assume their more normal proportion in my life. Another way of looking at them, I think, is have you ever cooked with sesame oil in your Asian cooking? You know, a few drops, a half a teaspoon is a marvelous thing, brings out so much flavor and aroma, but just a few drops more and you ruin the dish. So I don't know if... these internal demons in my head called Mom, Dad, and David, my brother, are they going to go away? No. They belong here. They're a part of me. Do I think maybe they have an illuminated aspect that if I let go of them and put more faith in my faith than I put in my fear and my shame? Will something new emerge? With my alcoholism, I would say its dignified aspect has been sobriety and abstinence. And, you know, the dignified aspect of my overeating is abstinence and being able to let go. And so these parts of me that have caused so much trouble I'm sure that there is a miracle to take place with them. My alcoholism and my overeating haven't gone anywhere. They're still here. Relapse is always a possibility. I've been there. I've done that. But I now have a new relationship with my disease. And instead of holding me back and adding to my suffering, is now something that enables me to go forward and let go of things that I've been struggling to let go of for so many years, never realizing that my main problem was I was trying to control it all still. What else? I think that's it. Thank you.